This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
The national news media have not discovered it, but the issue that is bringing out hundreds of citizens who never before attended political meetings is Common Core education standards. More precisely, it is the attempt of Barack Obama's Department of Education to force all states and schools to adopt specified national education standards for each grade level that will dictate what all kids learn and do not learn. Common Core means federal control of school curriculum. That means control by Obama administration left-wing bureaucrats. Federal control will replace all curriculum decisions made by state and local school boards, by state legislatures, by parents, and even Congress, because Obama bypassed Congress using $4 billion of stimulus money to promote Common Core. It's not only public schools that must obey the Fed's dictates. Common Core will control the curriculum of charter schools, private schools, religious schools, Catholic schools, and homeschooling. The control mechanism is the tests. Kids must pass the tests in order to get a high school diploma, admittance to college, or even a GED. If they have not studied a curriculum based on Common Core, they won't score well on the test. Common Core cannot be described as voluntary. Since Common Core is so costly to the states, it's an estimated $15 billion for retraining teachers and the purchase of computers for all kids to take the tests. Common Core is foisted on the locals by a combination of bribes, federal handouts, and as the price for getting a waiver to exempt a state from other obnoxious mandates, such as No Child Left Behind. Don't be under any illusion that Common Core will make kids smarter. The Common Core academic level is lower than what many states use right now.
Has your son or daughter expressed frustration with the liberal ideology and anti-Christian propaganda on their college campus? Encourage any students you know to join Phyllis Schlafly and other conservative leaders in Washington, D.C. on July 18 and 19 for the annual Eagle Forum Collegian Summit. The conference is free to students who register in advance at eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com. to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
John Stettmiller here. Gives me great pleasure to welcome our new sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They are a veteran-owned, Christian-based preparedness company. I know the owner, and I can tell you they share the same ideals and values that we do. From quality long-term food to self-defense and camping supplies, they have what you need to prepare. Great wholesale pricing, quality products, the best customer service. You just can't go wrong. One example, they have a one-year food package that includes GMO-free vegetables and fruit, plus real meat like roast beef and chicken breast. Over 2,000 calories a day for $19.95. Not your run-of-the-mill carb bucket like a lot of them out there. From stun guns, batons, tents, gas masks, chemical suits, the list goes on and on. One thing you'll learn over time is value is defined by quality plus price. You get that value with AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Tell them that John sent you and receive a free knife with your order today.
I'm sorry. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. I'm sorry, my mic was muted. That's what happens when I take a drink of water. Alrighty, this is Deanna. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. And our guest today is Carl Rattle. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. Oh gosh, how embarrassing. Alrighty, Carl, welcome back.
It happens to the best of us, doesn't it?
Well, I cut my mic when I at the end of the last hour and just forgot to, you know, 6 minutes goes by and I just forgot it was muted. So,
oh well. Started talking to him to mute it.
Right, and I couldn't understand why they didn't cut the music and what was going on. I mean, I talked louder and louder and still the music played on and on. Oh, the poor producer. Anyway.
Dear. All right, just to round off the Thule Society, I thought I would quote possibly the most the most important historian in English, anyway, of this particular phenomenon. That's Nicholas Goodrich Clark and his The Occult Roots of Nazism, which, if you're interested, I thoroughly recommend picking up. He says on page 150, the precise relationship of the new party, which is the NSDAP, with the workers' ring of Thulean inspiration, remains indeterminate. Franz Dehlin, a Thule member and DAP speaker, which is Deutsche Arbeiterpartei, which is the precursor of the NSDAP, claims to have discussed the founding of the party with Haller, who is the president of this Thule Society group, at the hotel Via Jahrzeiten. But Drexler's pamphlet Mein politisch Erwachen, 1919, mentions neither Dermal or Haller, nor the foundations of the party, although the minutes of the ring indicate no discussions of racist Weltanschauung beyond a rudimentary form of antisemitism. It is probable that Haller's Volkisch ideas infiltrated the ring and influenced Drexler and the DAP, which was transformed a year later at the end of February 1920 into the National Socialist German Workers' Party, NSDAP. However, the DAP line was predominantly one of extreme political and social nationalism and not based on the Aryan racist occult pattern of the German Orden. What he's basically saying is that the two groups are very, very different. They may look intertwined, but in fact, if you look at their ideologies, you look at the fact that the DAP was not in line with the Thulean ideas, then it is clear that the two groups are not the same. They're linked by members, yes, but they're not, that their membership, not necessarily, they don't necessarily believe in fact the same things. They don't propagate the same things, certainly. Now, the other thing about the Thule Society is the chap who ran it, who, as I've mentioned, Rudolf Zubotendorf, who liked to call himself a baron. He wasn't a baron, but he liked to do it because it got him mistresses, of which he had several. But the interesting thing about Zubotendorf is the time he spent before the First World War in Greece. Because he spent his time with a particular family called the Telmudi family, who just so happened to be bankers, Greek Jews, and Freemasons all at once. This was a family that was very closely associated with Kabbalism. And he picked up a lot of his ideas from this particular family, as we believe. And it's interesting to note that this Jewish sort of Jewish attitude to Zubotendorf, and the fact that after June 1919, as I said, his life fell apart pretty much, and he was a non-entity. So, in the 1930s, it was claimed that he had a conversation with Trevor Ravenscroft of Hitler and the Spear of Destiny fame, that he had influenced Hitler, he had been Hitler's mentor, and so forth. And that is where we get the entire idea of the Thule Society ruling the NSDAP, and because what happened in the 1970s, 1960s, was that people began to dig into the history of the Third Reich a bit and the history of the NSDAP, and they noted the fact that there was a limited amount of concordance between these two societies, and they just said, okay, one society equals that. So because the Thule Society may have had a limited crossover with the DAP, this then means that the NSDAP was an occult phenomenon and so forth.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, if you applied that same reasoning to things that we become involved with, like we might attend a meeting of some site, but that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean a thing. Just because you, and for instance, you mentioned that Rosenberg and Hess had spoken at the Thule Society. Well, they were trying to form the party. They were trying to grow. Of course they're going to go out and speak to any group or any organizations that had listeners, correct?
Yeah, precisely. The same reason that Goebbels would actually encourage communists to come to his speeches, because if communists came, there would be a riot. A riot would get him in the papers. He didn't want to hurt people, but that's the best way to do what you're looking to do. The same thing, if you look at, for example, the SPLC's literature and the literature on the far right from the far left, in fact, you'll see that they tend to say, ah, but he's a member of you know, the Ku Klux Klan, he was a member of the Nazi Party. Ah, the two must be linked because one member was there. Ah, you must, you know, this is a concordance, as they like
sure.
to call it. It's that kind of reasoning of sometimes it's called quote mining. It's like you're saying, you've been associated with something once, or you've spoken before them once. Thus, you must be a member. You must be, you know, you must eternally be a member of that particular party, and so forth. And we have our fair share of those kind of people who believe that, who use that kind of reasoning on the side of patriotism and the far right and so forth. But there's also plenty of them on the far left, and there's plenty of them in liberalism and so forth. I mean, the amount of times, I'm sure you've read of people talking about, in quotes, Nazi conspiracies to rule over America with,
right. Schwarzenegger, the Fourth Reich.
The Fourth, the Rich, the famous of the books and so forth. It's that kind of reasoning that then brings out this kind of lunatic sort of associations. And a great one is the figure of Johann Stein, who claimed in the 1930s, 1940s, that he had met Hitler in a bookshop in Vienna from 1908 to 1909, and he picked up a book that Hitler owned, which was the text of Parsifal, Wagner's Parsifal. And he read these notes, and they showed a dark power, a knowledge of this dark forces and so forth. And it was in the bookshop of a man called Ernst Plitschke in Vienna. And apparently this, you know, he got to know Hitler, and he taught him so much. And Hitler was always this great magus. He was this great black magician. And that's the only place his great oratorical abilities could have come from and so forth. But the problem with this, of course, is the fact that, okay, Hitler wasn't Vienna at the time, and Stein wasn't, But, and then we got the problem with the bookshop. Well, problem is that there is no bookshop registered to Ernst Pletschka in Vienna at the time. And in fact, there's no one in Austria. There's no bookshop in Austria at the time associated with him. And we don't have any record that this man actually existed, other than Stein's claims much later in life. It's that kind of problem. People, you've got these occultists saying, ah, yes, I was associated with Hitler, thus I'm important, thus I'm powerful, thus I'm, you know, look at me, I've caused all this destruction. Knowledge.
Sure. Interesting. Alrighty, we will be right back in 3 minutes.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plaques, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Carl Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a Source Reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. Okay, so people usually, they just accept what somebody says. They don't bother to check to see whether there was a bookstore in Vienna or anywhere else. They just don't bother to look at the facts and that's just human nature, I think.
Yes, certainly when it comes to things like this. This is why you tend to say there's three levels of literature. There is, you've got your basic popular literature, which is your average, you know, quick book on, you know, a very short introduction to this. Then you've got your mid-brow literature, which is kind of your Barnes and Noble philosophy section. And then you've actually got your, what you call your scholarly literature. You've got the highbrow stuff. You've got people who actually go out there, they research things, and they make, sometimes they're very dry authors, and they make very, very specific work, they do very specific work, and they tend to myth bust, is, if you want a better term.
Right.
And a lot of people have accepted the myths about the occult Reich and the, you know, satanic Nazism and how it oppressed Christianity and so forth, because it suits them as well. But it also, it comes, there's also, it's a bit like, it's, if you want a comparison, the Holocaust is actually a very good one. It's in part because it covers the same ground. It's basically has been described as a giant with feet of clay. There is a book after book after book after book which says, "Ah, yes, Hitler was a black magician. The Thule Society created the NSDAP. You know, Otto Rahn was a big magus, and Willy Gutt was important. Gudo List was in the background somewhere. Hitler was in a bookshop in Vienna reading about black magic in 1908, 1909, etc." You go back layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. And then you suddenly find that it's undercut by something absolutely unacceptable in terms of evidence, like Lanz von Liebenthal in 1951 saying, "Oh yes, I was Hitler's inspirer. I was, you know, I'm important. Look at me." And you get the same thing with Subotendorf. You get the same thing with Johann Stein, and so forth. It's this kind of attitude of, I want to be remembered. I want to be viewed as important, but yet I'm not viewed as important at the moment, so I must make my contribution to history. It's a bit like some of the people like Hermann Rausching, who's, you know, went over to the Allies and produced some of the two worst books on Hitler that have probably ever been written. It's just this kind of attitude of, if you pile enough references on top of something, then people will accept it without question. Most people won't check a reference. They will just look at it and go, "Oh, look, he's quoted, or he or she has quoted, that book says that. Okay, well, that sounds good because the title is good. Oh, look, it's in French. Oh, look, it's in German." And that, it kind of gives you the false mystique of intellectualism. And you see the same thing, in literature of the Jews, for example, on various different subjects. They like to quote work upon work upon work upon work, which supposedly has this evidential basis behind it. But when you get back to the basis, it doesn't actually support the assumptions that have been made on the basis of the literature. So you get this layer upon layer upon layer of literature. And it's like that famous famous instance within revisionism when Carlo Mattone, the Holocaust, the revisionist historian of the Holocaust, said, in his one of his articles, he said, "I looked at the Holocaust of the Gypsies. Now, I went back through the literature. I said, okay, well, I want to look at all the authors and see where they're getting their information from." So he went back and back and back and back. And then he found that the two principal authors, which basically everything is built off of the Gypsy Holocaust, actually cited each other. They didn't cite a document, they cited each other. So you've got a case where you've got these two authors citing each other, and everything's built on top of them. So it's a kind of bizarre scenario where no one has checked, no one has thought to check, and then someone does, and they find out it's complete nonsense. Basically, it's like anything. It's like academic theory. Scholarship changes over time. I mean, for example, most listeners will have never heard, will probably never heard of the fact that in the last 10 years there's been a general academic consensus that the Cathars, the people that Otto Rahn was so enamored with, never existed, and they were in fact an imaginary phantom made up of lots of different smaller groups who were working to a previous interpretation of Christianity. That kind of little thing that's not popular, but it's much more solid intellectually, as people have worked with it and sort of ironed out the kinks in it and so forth. It's that kind of thing that doesn't come down to the literature a lot of people read. These days I don't think most people read a lot of literature anywhere. I think they just watch videos. And the occult Reich is again a great example where you get videos which purport to prove this. The most recent was called the Nazi Gospels. It includes a documentary. It's a very well done documentary, but it's about as factual as, well, a documentary about UFOs landing in my back garden. It's not exactly factually correct. In spite of having lots of interviews with some scholars, it also but most of its people who are cited who talk in it are not scholars. There's Klaus Fischer, there is a historian from Oxford, and there is Nicholas Goodrick Clark, and then you've got people like Bill Yen, you've got people like Peter Lavender, who cite, basically they try every possible claim to say that this occult right existed, and they claim that that this is great. I mean, Peter Lavender, very into my amusement, said in it, "Oh yes, paganism is always Satanism, really, effectively." And that's the kind of attitude you're dealing with: people who will associate one thing with another thing because that is their worldview, that is what they believe to be the case. And of course, Jews are very keen to promote this kind of belief because it is kind of acts as a shield. Because for the Zionist Christians, because Zionist Christians will always say, "Oh, but Hitler was evil because he, you know, full society, devil worship, Satanism, paganism, everything possible," other than to say Hitler might have had a lot of Christian support. Because if Hitler had a lot of Christian support and he didn't seduce them with black magic or what have you, then that makes their interpretation of the Third Reich very, very tenuous, and that puts the kind of devil of their piece, of their kind of worldview, into question as to really, was it a devil? And that then causes all sorts of problems, because that then ultimately says, well, why? Why is this regime, why is it supported? And they have to research it, and they have to think about it, and that causes all sorts of problems to occur in their own heads. And it's quite common also that people who will write about the occult, in quotes. I think Michael Howard, for example, is in his The Occult Conspiracy, will just include the Thule Society angle. They won't include the rest of it. They'll just include the Thule Society angle as if it was established fact, as if historians supported it, which they don't, and so forth. It's just kind of this attitude of we'll just include whatever facts we like, and then we hope that no one else will look at the literature kind of thing. It's bizarre, and you see it, for example, in the occult right documentary. All it cites is all these, in quotes, connections, and so that are so common when you're trying to describe a conspiracy, but you don't have any evidence of the conspiracy. So, for example, you need to prove that he talked to him, that he influenced him, not that he knew him. Because if he knew him, we don't know there was any influence there. There was no involvement there. You know, everyone has, I don't know, maybe 200, 300 acquaintances or what have you at the time. So, you know, it's not unusual for people to know each other. It's just you have to prove friendship. You have to prove, you know, influence. And that's, for example, the best example of that kind of logic and that kind of, you know, well, I must actually prove every connection is Carol Quigley's The Anglo-American, the Anglo-American Establishment, where he argues the existence of what he calls the Round Table Conspiracy. It's fascinating you should argue that theory, or that kind of theory.
All right, we are going to a break. We will take calls when we return, so be right back.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit. The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
John Stettmiller here. Gives me great pleasure to welcome our new sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They are a veteran-owned, Christian-based preparedness company. I know the owner, and I can tell you they share the same ideals and values that we do. From quality long-term food to self-defense and camping supplies, they have what you need to prepare. Great wholesale pricing, quality products, the best customer service. You just can't go wrong. One example, they have a one-year food package that includes GMO-free vegetables and fruit, plus real meat like roast beef and chicken breast. Over 2,000 calories a day for $19.95. Not your run-of-the-mill carb bucket like a lot of them out there. From stun guns, batons, tents, gas masks, chemical suits, the list goes on and on. One thing you'll learn over time is value is defined by quality plus price. You get that value with AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Tell them that John sent you and receive a free knife with your order today.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Carl Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. I got 15 emails yesterday from one person claiming that the Jesuits were behind everything. And you can find books with all these kinds of claims, and you think, okay, but when you look at who wrote them, you'll find that a Jew wrote some of them, and when you look at the sources and the information, I mean, it's just a bunch of hogwash.
Yes, I've seen them. I remember, I've actually been called a Jesuit before. Someone, I remember I had an argument with someone about Jesuits, and they ended up calling me, they ended up saying, yeah, are you a Jesuit? Are you part of this, how many Jesuits are out there, sort of stalking YouTube? I was like, Jesuit order stalking YouTube. You can't believe it sometimes.
Exactly.
People will believe in anything as long as it seems cogent. And yeah, the classic thing is with Jesuits is the fact they kind of view them as kind of a nefarious order that's going to take over the world. And so I think they've only had one or two recent books that have claimed it that I recall. I remember one in 2000, but I tend to read them on occasion and just shake my head with
when you're on a good laugh.
Yeah, really, right. when you want a good laugh, or you can read David Icke, possibly.
I mean, some of the stuff that he does include is probably true, but then when he brings in all this other stuff, it just discredits him so terribly.
It's like, it says, the one I always like is his view that that the Jews are the Jews are not responsible for anything. The only reason that there is this Jewish influence in the world is because the in quotes shape-shifting Rothschild lizards are ruling over the Jews, and the Levites, of the Bible, were really black magic satanic priests who were actually shape-shifting lizards as well. And I remember reading it and thinking, what?
Right. And the Jesuits in charge of Hollywood? Oh, please.
The Jesuits in charge of Hollywood. That's a new one.
Yes,
so I don't see any priestly collars anywhere in Hollywood somehow.
No. All righty. We do have some callers lining up. Why don't we take a call? Let's take Robert in Missouri. Robert, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Deanna and Carl. I wanted to get into this thing about that I've read about maybe 20 years ago from some eschatological Bible prophecy folks that talked about Hitler used to look at the spear of destiny, the spear of Longinus in the Vienna Museum, where he was supposedly sat there and meditated in front of this spear for hours, and there was a big black shape of some sort of demonic presence. And somewhere it says that he gave himself over to its will. And I wondered, was this spear actually there in Vienna during his,
formative years? It was actually there, but that's Trevor Ravenscroft. he's the one who came up with the whole Spear of Destiny. Yes, without it, Hitler lost the war and he lost his powers. But I've got a quote from Ravenscroft just to give you kind of idea of how insane the man is, or was, I should say. He says, Dietrich Eckart contrived to develop and open the centers in the astral body of Adolf Hitler, giving him the possibility of vision into the macrocosm and means of communication with the powers of darkness, utilizing his memoirs of a past incarnation as the Landulf of Capua in the 9th century. By divulging the secret doctrine, Haushofer expanded Hitler's time consciousness and awakened him to the real motives of the Luciferic principality which possessed him, so that he would become the conscious vehicle of its evil intent in the 20th century. It's like, that's the kind of rubbish that he writes.
Right.
It was actually it was in the museum, but it's like it's just the fact that he went there and may well have seen it, because instead he visited a lot of museums and libraries at the time. But there's no evidence of him being particularly interested in it, other than the fact that it was a treasure and it was worth a lot. It was worth a lot as a relic, thus it was of interest to the Third Reich's cultural activities. That's about the sum of it. It's just crap.
Now, what about this so-called fascination he had with Madame Blavatsky and then Nicholas Rorick and this whole side of the house, the theosophical stuff? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, it's related to his, it's related to the claims that he was, in any way, some way associated with the Thule Society, the Liss Society, because they drew impart some of their ideas from Madame Blavatsky and her The Secret Doctrine. The basis for this seems to be the fact that because Madame Blavatsky uses the word Aryan repeatedly in her The Secret Doctrine and her other books, that therefore she must have had some association with the, it's in quotes, occult conspiracy behind Hitler. In reality, there's so little that any kind of connection, or even that Hitler read The Secret Doctrine, that there's no evidence of it. It's just one of these things that it was invented, if memory serves, by the Morning of the Magicians, Louis Powells and Jacques Bergier, as said Powells was Jewish. And they then basically propounded this belief in this, in this kind of connection between Aryosophy, which is Blavatsky's idea, and National Socialism and Hitler, in order to argue this idea that magic was very, very powerful and that it was a rational force in the world and needed to be harnessed and so forth. It was basically a partisan argument, misciting and misunderstanding literature, if you want, honest opinion.
All right, one more quick one. How sure. about the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute and the Rockefellers and the worship of Margaret Sanger? Could you tie some of that? Is any of this true, or, you know, you hear about this from Alex Jones and the rest?
Well, sort of. It's a weird one. Because it's nothing to do with the occult side of the Third Reich at all. It's to do with core ideology of it's to do with eugenics. And the fact that Planned Parenthood does have a similar ideology in terms of what they call negative eugenics as does, as did the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for Anthropology, Eugenics, and Genetics. And basically, all that they shared was the fact that they agreed on a principle that people should have less children, or suitable people should have more children, unsuitable people should have less, and so forth. It's basically that all that is the fact that you had a bunch of foundations who were supporting different groups and so forth. But there isn't any real connection, because there were American groups supporting Third Reich policies, there were American groups supporting anti-policies, and vice versa. It was quite a bizarre relationship at times in terms of funding. But, you know, it's just one of these things where the eugenic side of it is often overstated completely, and the fact is that American eugenicists did like the Third Reich, and they did support it, but there is not the connection isn't nearly as close. It's more of a case of the Americans viewed it as a case of they're making advancements because Germany was the big player in science at the time. They're making advancements. We want to copy this, and that was brought out in, for example, the publications of the Cold Spring Harbor. People associated with it and that kind of thing, and people like Charles Melidia, I think his name is one of them. Sorry.
Now I had one observation, and that's this. Everything that's projected onto the Third Reich and the Germans, the racial supremacist aspect and the Holocaust mass murder aspect, actually is kind of it's a ploy, because the real racial supremacist and the real Holocaust that was going on in Eastern Europe with the Russians was being done by the very people that played the victim to the German, demonization campaign. And so it's like it was a great little ploy to cloak their own actions with, you know, the supremacist writings of rabbis for hundreds and hundreds of years, and the mass murder of, you know, well up over 60 million people by the, you know, the Jewish Bolsheviks, which is, you know, it's just, I mean, you got to give it to them. They're a cunning and smart bunch of individuals that can, you know, cloak. Go ahead, what you're going to say to that?
No, I was just agreeing with you. Carry on, please.
Right. I mean, it's just amazing that, you know, with the total domination of just about all of the world's media, how they have basically projected onto the Germans the very things that they did behind the scenes. Well, not even really behind the scenes, but just out in the open with total media domination, to where it was just a blackout of the real crimes of the 20th century. And then, you know, you see Mao Zedong with this guy Epstein and the other Jewish characters behind him, where there was another 70 million people who got killed.
Yeah, and you got Che Guevara, who is supported by, who is primarily brought out by a Jewish newspaper reporter, and Castro himself, who's probably part Jewish, and so forth. I mean, they're not exactly the nicest people in the world, are they?
No, indeed. Well, we are going to a break. Robert, if you have another question, you may stay over the break. We'll be right back.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821, or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
What do you need? You need paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 paracord. 550 tensile strength. Military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 lengths. You can purchase yours now at CampingSurvival.com. Lowest prices on paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black paracord, 1,000 feet, only $39.83 right now on CampingSurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from CampingSurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation, CampingSurvival.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Carl Rattle, the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. And Rick in the chat room said, well, that is what psychopaths do. They blame the victim. And in regard to what Robert had said, and I think Robert is still on. Robert, did you have another question?
Yeah, one last real quick thing. Henry Kissinger made a statement not that long ago about Israel won't exist in 10 years. And I just got this book by Tex Mars, his latest one called DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. And it ties in together basically through DNA study that Arthur Koestler, author of the 13th Tribe, his theory was right. Basically that modern day Ashkenazi Jewry is the Turk-Mongol extraction, Kurdish, and the rest of it.
Right. We had Tex on the program yesterday.
Oh, dang it. I missed it. I'm going to have to get into the archives. I wanted to know if Carl thinks that the Jewish elite, like Kissinger and the rest of them, know that the gig is up. Now the DNA science is proving that, you know, the folks that are laying claim to the land because they're Abraham's descendants truly aren't Abraham's descendants. And if that's the reason why Kissinger might have said that.
When Kissinger said that, I think he's referring to the fact that the Jews in Israel, the fact that Israel is a parasitic state, its economy cannot exist without massive aid. And that's been echoed by a couple of people lately, the fact that Israel, if it doesn't change, will cease to exist in 10 to 20 years because, well, the resistance that is now forming against the Israel lobby, and the fact that the gig is up with the Israel lobby, and the fact that everyone knows that it's real, everyone knows it's very powerful, and they know it's the Jews, and the fact you've got the left and the right agreeing on this Israel lobby has to go because they're causing problems. As to Mars's book, I disagree on the origin of the Jews, in that I know that it's often asserted that eugenic studies support it. In fact, eugenic studies support the opposite, that the Jews are who they say they are, but there was this empire that converted and so forth. And if you want a counterbalance to someone like Mars, Mars's arguments about the Khazars, I suggest reading the Kevin Allen Brooks' The Jews of Khazaria, partly because he himself is very sympathetic to the Khazari hypothesis, as it's called, but he says, well, the evidence isn't there. The fact is that there probably has some reference, and genetic studies suggest there is something. It's just that genetic studies, all they say is there is a sort of a Near Eastern element to the Jews in terms of they're up in the Caucasus a bit. And that is no surprise to any historian of Jewish affairs, because the Jews have been known to have been up there since at least the time of Mithridates. That's before Rome entered the area in, like 200 BC. That's the kind of thing it is. And I don't discount the possibility that it's true. I just don't think that the evidence is there to support it as of yet. Although, the entire concept of them invalidating their claim to Israel, their claim to Israel is invalid anyway because they chose Israel. They chose to fight Israel. They chose to try and get Palestine when there was free land in Argentina. They had a potential state in Kenya, in as well as Rhodesia, actually, as well as Bilojuban in Siberia. They could have had any of those. But they chose to have, they chose to basically terrorize the locals, wipe out the locals in Palestine, and then claim that they were the victims all along. That invalidates them, and the fact is that anyway, their claim on the basis of the Bible is basically fallacious, because the Bible is always conditional about it. You do not own the land, God does. If God says that you shall have it, you shall have it, but God hasn't said that yet. He hasn't, that kind of thing. The logic behind the Zionist case doesn't hold up very well at all, which is why they spent so long, and Alan Dershowitz has been caught repeatedly trying to do it, trying to claim that there was no people in Palestine at the time, that it was abandoned land, so they couldn't possibly have killed, 500,000 million people just for not being Jewish and being somewhere they wanted them to be. It's just a case of a difference of opinion, really, with Mars, I suppose, is that I come from a different background and, you know.
What I found interesting about these DNA studies, though, was actually that the Palestinians have more ancient connection to ancient Israelite blood, and even a lot of them have the Kohanim chromosome, where that was the pre-priestly class, which is what I found.
The Kohan modal haplotype. Yeah. No, you are right. You're completely right.
So I found that completely interesting, that a lot of the Arabs have more Semitic blood than the...
Than the Ashkenazim.
Yes.
Bear in mind,
there are
three groups, yeah.
Go ahead,
sorry,
Carl.
Thanks for taking my call, and I'll listen to the rest of the program. I know there's other callers. Thanks.
All righty, thank you.
There's three groups. There's the Ashkenazim, there's the Sephardim, and there's the Mizrahim. Mizrahim are Middle Eastern Jews. Sephardim are from Spain, as in the Sephalad from Obadiah. And the Ashkenazim are the most recent of them all, coming basically being Germanic, Polish, Russian, so forth. It's the Ashkenazim, the ones who are debated as to whether or not they came from the Khazaria. That doesn't affect the Sephardim or the Mizrahim. The Mizrahim and the Sephardim are actually very, very closely related to the Palestinians, whereas the Ashkenazim are where it is debated. And that's where, personally, I disagree with people on the Khazaria thesis. But nevertheless, I agree that it's a possibility. It's just that we need more evidence if we're going to propose it.
Sure. Okay, so how have the Jews used the occult in order to facilitate Christian Zionism?
Well, because they need an enemy. Any good system, any good ideological system has a positive has its kind of hero. It has its hero function. It's like communism has portrayed the proletariat and Marx and so forth as being the heroes. where it always had the enemy as the evil capitalist, the exploiter, and so forth. In much the same way, a Zionist Christian has exactly the same thing. They have the evil, they have the great positive Israel. Israel is their, is what they worship. They worship this idea of that a Jewish Messiah is going to come, and he's going to help them, and he's going to create, the Jews are going to all convert to Christianity, and so forth. And then, what will then happen is, and then you've got this kind of evil force, you know, the anti-Semites, the people who disagree with Israel, who more recently what they call the Islamo-fascists, and so forth, who are trying to fight against this inevitability, this idea that there's this dark force. Because I mean, if you think about it, Christianity has two poles. You've got almost a dualism. You've got God and you've got the devil. You need to have the devil in order to have God. For many Zionist Christians, and they see the devil as being very, very real because they're biblical literalists. They see that reality in the devil, and they have to assign him human minions. You know, this is why you often find them. They talk about the evil satanic bankers, the Illuminati, but they have to include real events. And one of the most important, of course, is World War II. So what you have to do, and because it created Israel, it's this great satanic conspiracy, which was destroyed by great American patriotism, and so forth. And then the Jews were allowed to settle in Israel, and this will now create the situation for the what they call the rapture, and so forth. This is a kind of poles. You've got the good force, and you've got the bad force, and they've assigned the NSDAP and the Third Reich and fascism and so forth to be the bad area because that is how it's generally perceived, and also as a consequence of their own sort of almost Jewish worship. If you look at many Zionist Christians, you'll find Zionist Christian ideas, you often find that they derive from Jewish converts to Christianity, and there's many Jewish converts within Zionist Christianity, hence Jews for Jesus, who like to propound the idea that they actually know Christianity better than any Gentile Christian, because in their logic, Jesus was Jewish, therefore, as Jews, they know Christianity better. In much the same way, you get people like Brother Nathaniel, who will say, oh, I'm a Jew, therefore I know Jews better than any Gentile, therefore I'm the supreme authority upon the evil of the Jews, and so forth. That is the same logic, different scenario, if you like.
Right, okay. And of course, without Hitler, then we wouldn't have had Israel, and people have even written books saying that he was the creator of Israel. And that is preposterous because, if you look at the transfer agreement and all the details involved in that, that stopped about 1937, 38, because they didn't want to do that to the Palestinians.
Yeah. Well, that's yes.
Yes. Well, thank you so very much for being on the program today. It's been delightful as usual.
I'll be back, because they say.
Okay, great. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Have a wonderful weekend.